Matthew chapter 27. Matthew 27, and we'll begin at verse 15. How can you even explain Calvary? You can't even, our minds can't fathom Calvary. Can't fathom that Jesus would die on a cross to pay for our sins. Can't fathom that kind of love. We talk about it a lot. We talk about how we would sacrifice ourselves for others and all that. And yet, it was while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's amazing to think of Calvary. It really is. Matthew 27, verse 15, we have a story that is right before Calvary. In Matthew 27, verse 15, the Bible says, "Now at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner, whom they would, and they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him." Isn't that something? A heathen man, Pilate, not a saved man at all, but he knew. He knew why Jesus had been delivered to him. He knew what they wanted. He knew that they had envy. And just kind of mark that down. The Bible says when he was set down on the judgment seat, this talking about Pilate, his wife sent unto him saying, "Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, "Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you?" They said, "Barabbas." That's hard to believe, isn't it? Unbelievable. I mean, you know, Barabbas, he's a murderer. He's been disloyal to the country. He's a terrible man, a wicked man. And they've chosen him over Jesus Christ. Well, I submit to you that, sad to say, these were most of them lost that made that choice, obviously. Isn't it terrible that you and I do the same thing? We often choose Barabbas. You say, "Oh, I don't like the way that's going." Well, just think about that. The governor answered and said unto them, "Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate saith unto him, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" They all say unto him, "Let him be crucified." And the governor said, "Why? What evil hath he done?" Pilate, here's an unsaved man. He didn't love Jesus. He's doing all he can to get Jesus released and to get the people to choose Jesus. He thinks, surely, I mean, this is simple, they're going to choose Jesus. Well, it was just a few days before, as I preached this morning, they were shouting, "Hosanna." Yeah. And Pilate says, "What evil hath he done?" But they cried out the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it." And he said it right. This just person, Jesus, never sinned. And then answered all the people and said, "His blood be on us and on our children." Kind of a strange thing people might say. And then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. And then turn over to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. As we get the title of the message tonight. 1 John chapter 2. Familiar verses. Verse 15. "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Father, I pray you bless the preaching tonight. I pray that you will just help us now in these next few minutes to think real hard about the choices that we make day in and day out and the kind of life that we've chosen. And I pray that you'll speak to our hearts. And again, we're amazed that the people chose Barabbas over Jesus. And yet, so often we do the same thing. So help us with that, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I've entitled the message tonight, "Love Not Barabbas." love not Barabbas, because I think Barabbas really is a picture of the world today and a picture of the choice that is made and is made day in, day out by each and every one of us. I think as we consider the people choosing Barabbas at this time, and I understand that the Lord knew that would happen and that Jesus had to die on the cross. I realize all that, but let's not dismiss, as Pilate thinks he can by washing his hands, that some people made a terrible choice. A terrible choice, a wrong choice. And tonight I have to think that, well, they came down to saying, you know what, Barabbas, he's wicked, he's vile, and all that kind of stuff, but we choose him, we love him over Jesus. Love not Barabbas. You know, I'll be honest with you, the world, to all of us, it sometimes looks pretty good. I mean, the money, the wealth, the fame, the everything it has to offer, the fun, the pleasure. I mean, we like to have fun, and the world certainly offers all those things. The world will offer you pleasure for just a few minutes of time, and it's amazing. We preach very hard about that, and yet we all find ourselves taking advantage of those few minutes of time, even when we know it's going to burn us for a longer period of time. We see it with our children. They do that often. They'll break some rule, get in trouble, and mom and dad will have to punish them because of something. And it's like, what are we doing? Well, we're doing exactly what they did way back before Jesus was crucified. We're making the wrong choice. Love not Barabbas. Of course, today's Palm Sunday, and this morning I preached on the word Hosanna, which means Lord, save us. Save us, O King, however you want to word that. And of course, Jesus is now, it's up to him. What's going to happen? Is he going to go to the cross or not? Pilate doesn't want him to die. Pilate does not want to crucify. It's very obvious. He's doing everything he can. Oh, yeah, I can release a prisoner. I'm going to figure this out. I'll release somebody. And he thinks, you know, they will choose Jesus and he'll be free and then I can walk away and everything will be all right. But the truth is, he gave the people a choice. And I think even Pilate was shocked by the choice that they made. They chose Barabbas. They chose the world. I wonder sometimes if the witnesses the Bible talks about in Hebrews 12, I wonder if they aren't amazed at times at the choices that we make. Not only individual, but churches all over the world that used to take a stand, and Christians that used to stand for Jesus who kind of back away whenever they're given the choice between Jesus and Barabbas. And yet my Bible says, love not Barabbas, love not the world. Don't love the world. And so I want to just show you the reasons and give you some ideas to think about when you're faced with that choice. What choice will I choose, Jesus, or will I choose the world or Barabbas? Well, one thing we see very clearly, it was pointed out by the Bible that Pilate knew this. The first thing is pride, we see. Pride. It was for envy they delivered Jesus. It was for envy. They envied what Jesus had. Jesus had the crowds one day shouting, Hosanna, glory to God. Jesus had the power of God on his life. The world can't explain that. The world will never be able to explain the power of God on our lives. You know, the world, one of the reasons they would love to get you entangled in the garbage of the world is because they don't like your joy. The world, the cosmos, and I'm not talking about people as much as a system that hates God. It hates the fact that we rejoice. It hates a couple of young ladies singing a song about God's good in the valley. Even in the valley, God is good. You know, when you show that at work and you show that among your relatives, and even in the valley, when you're in the valley and you continually say God is good, the world wants to drag you down into the pit with them so that you don't proclaim that God is good. Because there's envy, there's a pride problem, the Bible talks about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life in 1 John chapter 2, all of those things. The Bible says in Proverbs 17:5, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. When we start to think about us first, me first, when we start to think about what about my rights, what I want, what I should have, what I deserve, all those kind of things, when we get into that kind of thinking, you know, we're just playing right into the world's desire for us. That was their problem. It was for envy they delivered Jesus. They didn't want him. They wanted religion without Jesus. They wanted to feel good without the law that Jesus represented. They wanted to do their own thing to please themselves, but Jesus offended them because he came as a light. And light, the Bible says men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are what? Evil. And that pride, you know, that pride. Why would anybody get mad when you go soul winning? Why would anybody get mad other than if you knock on the door and wake them up? I've even gotten mad a few times when people knock on my door and wake me up. But I cannot imagine why anybody would get mad, Kathy, when you simply ask them a question, if you die today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? And sometimes it's like, how dare you? How dare you assume I'm not going to heaven? How dare you? What is that? It's just pride. It's just pride. But I'll be honest with you, it's the same pride that keeps a man from going to heaven that keeps a Christian from doing what God wants him to do. Same pride that keeps a Christian from getting on an altar when God speaks to his heart. Same pride. Same pride of what will those people think if you go down there and pray? What will people think if you're down there pouring out your heart to God? What would people think if they'll think you're a sinner? They'll think you've got some kind of sin in your life. What do you think? You know what, folks? I'm going to tell you something. The old-time revivals of years gone by and the old-time revivals that we always talk about, do you know it all started at an altar? It started as God's people bowed their heads and bowed their knee to God Almighty and said, fully on my pride, I need to be right with God. These were very religious, and they weren't going to bow to Jesus. Jesus basically looked at their religion as a joke as he cleansed their temple. And he couldn't, you know, and they simply could not and would not admit that they were wrong. As I preached this morning, the shouts of Hosanna for most were simply, hey, deliver us from Rome. My sin? Oh, no, I don't have any problem there. I just need to get out from under Rome. That's all. I just need to get out from under debt. That's all. I just need to get out from under my trouble. That's all. I just need to get out from under this physical problem I have. Hey, I'm looking for a Messiah, a king, that'll do what I want him to do. And that's the world. The world, it just constantly is pulling on you and I because of our pride. Wanting us, forget this altar kind of religion. Forget this, what can wash away my sin. Blot that out of your hymn book. You know, forget Calvary's Hill that we just sang about. We don't want to talk about that. That's negative. You people are too negative. No, listen, swallow your pride. And when songs are sung about the blood of Jesus Christ, and when songs are sung about Calvary and about the cross, there can be a tear in your eye because you know, I should have been crucified. Our pride makes us think somehow, we deserve heaven because of something we did. But I remind you that God commendeth his love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so there's a pride that the world preys on constantly. You need this, and we'll give you this, and you can have money for this, and all you have to do is this, and change your thinking about this, and church isn't that important, and God's not important, and there are things that are more important, and let's all hold hands and sing Kumbaya, which we have the music back here, by the way, and just all have fun, and I'd like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony, and we'll just all get along with everybody, and la-di-da, and Jesus didn't have to die on the cross, and he didn't have to rise from the grave, and everybody's going to be all right as long as we just all feel good. And we have Christians falling for that garbage all the time because the world appeals to our pride. We would like to just feel good. But the truth is, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's interesting in verse 19, Pilate's wife had more sense than most of the religious leaders there. She said, "Have thou nothing to do with that just man." She knew. He didn't do anything wrong. She knew. I mean, that woman was more spiritual than the men there. I'm going to tell you, folks, we need some men that will swallow their pride and recognize, if it's not for God Almighty, I'm lost, I'm on my way to hell, and my life's a mess. If we cannot sing that we are, the song about that we're a worm, I can't think of the song right now. That's a good song, boy. You know, and I've watched people hesitate. What's the song? Somebody help me. Amazing Grace. What verse is it?
June 24.
No. Anyway, you know, I've watched people sing, and we come to that part about being a worm, and they just sort of kind of, well, you know, that's kind of beneath me. No, you're beneath it. That's where worms are. They crawl around in the dirt. And I got news for you, folks. That's where we came from. And we haven't lived up to anything above that. And we need the blood. We need Jesus to save our souls or we're lost. But we're so proud. You know, okay, we bowed our head. We got saved. But what have you done since then as far as your pride is concerned? How many times have you knelt before God Almighty and said, "Oh, God, forgive me because I failed you"? Seems like we could do it often, doesn't it? Pride. And that was their problem here. It was very clear. How about number two, the word persuasion? Persuasion. It was kind of like a groundswell, you know. The people, started to, in my mind, I see it happening as they're shouting, "Hosanna, glory to God." But then they're watching, why isn't he riding a white horse? You know, I mentioned that this morning, and I'm not going to re-preach this morning's message, but often they tie together. You know, why is he on a donkey? He's the Messiah. He's the king. He's going to whoop the Romans. What's the deal here? He's on a donkey. And we've got all this, and I could just hear him starting to whisper. And I can hear the murmuring going on as they murmur all through the crowd and they're whispering, "Hey, what about this and what about that?" And then he goes into the temple and cleanses the temple. Hey, they thought he'd go into where the leaders of Rome were and he'd slice them all to pieces. What's he doing? And I can hear him talking. And I can see Facebook lighting up with the stories about Jesus. And all of a sudden the persuasion team is out. Persuading people, persuading that Jesus is not the Messiah. Well, why isn't he the Messiah? Well, because he's not doing things like I think he should. Folks, quit. I said this morning. We've got to quit trying to put Jesus in our little box. He's God. He's holy. He is the God of gods. He's the King of kings. He is the God that Isaiah saw in Isaiah 6. And Isaiah saw him and he said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips." That's Jesus. That's our Savior. He's God. But the persuasion team gets together and the world is so good at persuading. In fact, the Bible says, "Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind," but persuaded toward this book. Hey, you say, who's the persuasion team? It's the world. It's most television. It's most media. It's most on the internet. I mean, by far, it's the majority. It's people all over that are persuading folks. You don't need God. You don't need church. You don't need the Bible. You can go to church as long as it makes you feel good. But don't go somewhere where they preach about sin and the persuasion team. By the way, we're a persuasion team too. Good old-fashioned soul winning is a persuasion. Good old-fashioned preaching is persuasion. And preaching for persuading people to do what's right and do what the Bible said. And as hard as I preach, the world's preaching harder. We've got folks today say, you know, I'll never forget, somebody said to me, he said, you're just too loud. You're hindering the Holy Spirit. And I think, do they read the same Bible I read? Where my Bible says Jesus preached to a crowd that was probably 20,000 strong and he was on a hillside, do you suppose he whispered? And that same person that would say that, they would watch their ball games and scream and holler. And they would get on a cause like lowering prices at Walmart or something very important to them, and they would yell and scream and holler. I read in the newspaper some of the silly stuff people write about. That's their cause. Boy, you know, and I'm up here preaching, trying to persuade people that hell's hot and heaven's wonderful and you need to be saved and the blood will wash away your sin, and I'm not supposed to yell. You gotta be kidding. But the world's got their persuasion junk out there. It's loud. I don't know about you. I was going to say, have you listened to rock lately? And I don't want you to raise your hand. You know what? It's loud. Rap is loud. Hello. Yeah, nobody's going to raise their hand now. Forget that. It's all loud. All that crowd is loud. Why? Because they're persuading people to choose Barabbas. And I can see it. I can see it. I think a lot of people might have chosen Jesus had they not been persuaded and their mind was changed. They made it. They made the decision, but they were persuaded to go another direction. Oh, I think of all the folks that used to stand for Jesus who have compromised away that stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. And now they talk about him every now and then, and they certainly aren't going to deny him vocally, but by actions, they deny him. Amen. Amen. And we do. Sometimes, every one of us. Hey, the last time you lied, you denied Christ. The last wicked thought you had, you denied Christ. The last hateful thought you had towards someone, you denied Christ. But that's why we have an altar, folks. Because we mess up often. We sin. But that persuasion team just keeps going. Keeps going. And more and more and more are changing. And choosing Barabbas. You know, we've watched over the years people that have been influenced away from the King James Bible. People that have been, they've been persuaded to go away from old-fashioned standards, old-fashioned music, old-fashioned singing. They've been persuaded to cast that off. And hey, come on, we need to be more modern and more groovy so that the young people will come. We've seen people persuaded that soul winning doesn't work and the buses don't work and old-fashioned convictions are no good. I was talking to a young lady in our school, Abby Stewart, and she goes to Blissfield Holiness Church. And it is the only other church in our area that runs a bus. And I asked her, I said, Abby, I said, are you on that bus? And she said, yes. And she said, be sure and tell your pastor that I'm glad you folks haven't quit running a bus. Now, we'll go after their kids. But anyway, but I'm glad. No, I'm just kidding. We, you know, they're friends of us. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. The bus ministry, there used to be other churches running buses in this town. But it's not fun. It's work. It's not exciting. It's work. You know, somebody said, Pastor, why don't, I'm going to get myself in trouble. I just feel it coming on. I really do. Man, isn't that terrible? I forgot what I was going to say now. Boy, that's good. I did. If the Holy Spirit brings it back, I'll say it. But the persuasion team is out there. And folks are changing all over the place. You know, Brother Smith, one of the blessings about going to Barbados, that guy is an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental, radical nut Baptist. And we have a lot of fun. We just have a good time. We get talking about stuff and everything. And he says, oh, Pastor, he already told my wife. He said, we were giving our testimony about how God spoke to our hearts about worldliness. And his family, they were just glued. You know, it's kind of like their TV hour when they couldn't shut us off or change the channel. And we were talking and giving our testimony, you know, and about me tucking my hair and her tugging on her skirts and everything. He said, wow. He said, Miss Rogers, he said, will you preach that in my church? Well, no, you can't preach. But what you need to tell our ladies about. They need to hear that. They need to hear that. Miss Rogers teaches our teen girls in Sunday school class. And oh my, she's a wonderful teacher. But he was all excited about that and everything. And I thought about over the years, some of the teenagers said, we don't like her. She's old fashioned. And I thought, Brother Smith, he's, wow. And they're, yeah, because she says, girls, you don't want to look like a floozy. Yeah, she'll tell him that. You don't want to look like a harlot. God has something special for you. You don't want to dress it. You don't want to look like that. Some girl, she's shrink wrapped in her clothes. And Miss Rogers said, hey, honey, that's not right. Don't do that. She said, yeah, but I want to do what I want to do. I know somebody persuaded him, right? Hollywood got a hold of him. Amen. I've left the notes a long time ago. I'll get back to a point as soon as you respond. It's just Hollywood got a hold of him and the world system got a hold of him. And some of them, they paint themselves up looking like who knows what. And it's like we all just kind of say, well, I guess it's just the way it is. No, it isn't the way it is. Love not Barabbas. Love not Barabbas. Love not Barabbas. I don't care what everybody else says. And we shouldn't care. Persuasion. We have our own persuasion team. We need to persuade. Something Sharitha, she said this, and especially, I know it to be true this year. Everywhere our girls went, our volleyball team went, people said, wow, your girls are different. I'm talking about other Christian schools came up and said that, right? Wow, they got a good spirit. They're happy. They're good. One of them would spike the ball the wrong way, and they'd all come up and clap her on the back. I'm going, don't congratulate her. But they just love each other, I'm sitting in the stands going, I'm serious. And they're going, no, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. We love you, oh, hug, and praise God. And I'm going, But that persuasion, we just got to keep doing right and letting folks see people can do right. Not because we're good. We're not. We're just not. We just have a wonderful Savior. And even in the valley, even when the roof leaks, God is good. Amen. Amen. Even when the carpet's got to be stripped off, God's good. Even when we colored on the floor and it didn't work, God's good. Amen. Amen. Even when we had to color the next floor, God's good. He just is good, folks, always. And that's the testimony that, workers came here and they said, your church isn't like any other church we've been to. I said, what do you mean? They said, you folks are busy. We thought we'd come in here and there wouldn't be anybody here. They came in, they had some of your music playing out here. And I'd have to go to them and say, listen, you got to turn that down. We don't want to hear that stuff. Really? And you say, how do you know it was? Because some of you listen to that kind of stuff. I know. See, that's that persuasion. It starts to affect your face. But they said, wow, you people are different. Several of those guys, they'd kind of just stare as our kids were going in and out at school and everything, and they'd say, what's going on? I'd say, it's school. They'd say, well, what? Where's everybody going? I'd say, well, they're going to school. They'd say, no, they're all dressed up. I said, that's school. Really? Yeah. As far as we know, none of them smoke dope either. Really? Yeah. Yeah, as far as we know, I don't think any of them are involved in immorality at all. I really don't think so. And they'd go, wow, really? Yeah, I said, they look sharp, talk sharp, act sharp. They're pretty sharp. But I see them at the altar too. So they know something's got to be happening here, right? I'll go back to the next point as soon as I see somebody respond. I'm just winging it right now. Tim doesn't have to cringe on this. I know what I'm talking about on this. It's nothing to do with law. No, I'm not sure about all that. Pride, persuasion. Number three is preference because they had a choice. Huh? See, here's what it was. With Barabbas, we look good. With Jesus, we look bad. Amen. That's it. So what we do is we have Barabbas Baptist Church. So we can look kind of good. We can do bad looking good. Or we can look good doing bad. Put it however you want to put it, right? And then the independent, fundamental, radical nut Baptist Church, which the Nazarenes used to be this way, and the Wesleyans used to be this way, and the Methodists, come help me out. Methodists used to be this way, and everybody else used to be, even the Presbyterians used to be this way. Tom Bell would tell you the Lutherans used to be this way. Hey, you need to get saved. You're a sinner. You're filthy. You're wicked. And your sin will send you to hell if you don't get saved. And they say, you need a sedative. Well, it's because people have a choice. They really have a choice. And you know, we're not in competition. We're just going to tell the truth.
Amen.
Amen. We cannot make it feel good. Not trying to. Not trying to at all. And because of that preference. You know, here's the thing. They could look at Barabbas and say, you know what? I'm better than Barabbas. Keep him around. Then they look at Jesus. Oh, I'm a dirtbag compared to him. Kill him. Yeah. Amen. But Christ never sinned. Pilate said, what evil hath he done? There was none. No answer. Christ, the perfect Son of God. But it just wasn't their way. It wasn't their way. Barabbas was a feel-good way. Jesus was a get-on-the-altar way. He is, too. He is. And the Barabbas Baptist churches are everywhere. Why would you name your church Corinthian Baptist Church? Have you ever seen a Corinthian Baptist church? And it just hit me. I just thought of that. It'd be like a Barabbas Baptist. It'd be like Jezebel Baptist Church. Oh, let's go to Jezebel Baptist Church. And anyway, I thought I'd throw that out there. I just don't understand why you'd name your church Corinthian Baptist. The Baptist Church at Corinth. Why would you do that? Anyway. Yes, I'm just about done. It's so inconsistent, bless you. Amen. It's inconsistent to say you're a Christian and live like the world. Choose Jesus over Barabbas. Choose Jesus. Why? Because he is the way, he's the truth, he's the life. You say, but I don't feel good choosing Jesus. You know, there are some days I understand exactly what you're talking about because I'm under so much conviction. You know what I'm talking about, Brother James? Sometimes it just gets on you. Brother Todd knows, but Brother Todd and I, we, a few years ago, you know, there were some things, and I mean, you're trying to get close to God, and it can be like a weight. Thank God. Thank God it doesn't have to stay that way. Because we can get it right with him. The closer you get to him, the dirtier you look. But we need to get close. Amen. It's just that preference. And then number four is a proclamation I want you to see. And this is what we're doing. And this is how we end tonight. Back in verse 25, people are screaming by now, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. Verse 25, then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. That is a powerful verse, folks. Isn't it? That's a powerful. I choose Barabbas. What about Jesus? His blood. His blood be on us and on our children and on their children. And on their children. You want to know why America is a mess? Because years ago, a bunch of people said that. Amen. When they said, we'll take God out of the public schools. We'll take the Bible out of the public schools. It was in the 60s. I know. That God was in the public school when I went to public school. First time I heard about God was in first grade in the gymnasium. And somebody came and taught us the Bible in public school. But somebody came along and said, whoa, we can't do this. Boy, we've gone a long way from those days. It's so much worse today. But it's somebody that said, His blood be on us and on our children. Now, I want to tell you, parents, grandparents, listen to me. We better understand something. Our decisions that we make today, they do affect us, but they also affect them. And they also affect theirs. And I'm just saying, you know, we have this idea, well, it only affects me. Whatever I know, it affects everybody around you. Love not Barabbas. Love not Barabbas. Love Jesus. Decide you love Jesus today. And I close with 1 John 2, verse 17. And it's really the reason that I chose this passage to include, just because of the promise that is there and because I believe with all my heart we're making the same choice that so many made that day. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You know, the blessings of God only come from choosing Jesus. You say, you know, I want something wonderful to happen in my life. Then you need to choose Jesus. Number one, you need to be saved. Number two, you need to choose Jesus every day, every minute. Every time that the world's machine is pulling on you to turn against God and go a different direction and compromise your belief and walk away from the Word of God and walk away from church and walk away from independent, fundamental, radical, nut, old-fashioned Bible preaching. Anytime you just say, you know what? I choose Jesus. I'm going to choose Jesus. And by doing so, I believe with all my heart, we're going to give hope to these young people. And we're going to give hope to a couple of young ladies that sang a song that even in the valley, God is good. Amen. Even in the valley. Hello? That's real Christianity. When you can say, even in the valley, God is good. Well, that's only true for those who choose Jesus.